It is the Dirty Sheets for your Friday entertainment. I am Kev Manning. I am from the Lingus Mafia podcast. Also, the Wrestle Lingus show. Just type that in anywhere. You will find the show. And you could look for me at Lingus Mafia on X on Twitter. The Miss Lingus is coming up this next week. If you want to be part of that, all you got to do is DM us or tweet us, whatever, at Lingus Mafia and say, I want to be in Miss Lingus. Not as a contestant, but, you know, and then we'll send you a ballot and you'll be set to go. I am along with your number one source for all of your pro wrestling news. The reason you guys tune in each week, you love to hear what he has to say. That is Mr. Billy Body.
Yeah, it's been quiet this week. I'm finding it very odd when I watch that the USA Network will be continuing with WWE for 5 years and Fox will be finishing in September and never going to be working with WWE again because it's been a really bad relationship or neither have been happy with each other. And when I watch, it's like SmackDown is what Raw was and Raw is what Sunday Night Heat was.
Yeah.
There's no real reason to watch Raw at all. And a bit like SmackDown's the show. Like tonight, it's like, here we go. This is a big Mania show. Like the stars will be out on SmackDown tonight. And I watch Raw and it's just fucking Cody crying like a fucking bitch. Like it's, and they're trying to decide who's challenging for the Intercontinental belt. It's,
do you think it's because it's the 3 hours?
Sure. No, it's the second show. No, it's the build. It's the build. You don't need to watch Raw to know what's going on at Mania. They're not building up any important matches there.
But I'm saying, do you think it's because the show is 3 hours long and like it would be like if it was compact, you'd have more, you know, thick. It'd be thick shit in the middle.
Because are you not listening to me? They are building up. They are building up the third, fourth, and sixth most important matches on the card on that show. Number one and two are categorically built on SmackDown.
Yes.
Both main events. One and two, night one and two. And then obviously Bayley's title shots on there. And I would even argue whatever Logan Paul is doing with Orton and Owens is higher possibly than what that Becky and Rhea match, which the result of that match becomes more obvious all the time. Yeah, it's very odd. Like, they need Brock back or something on that on Monday Night Raw because it's all they need The Rock or Roman Reigns to turn up over there and beat the shit out of Cody and Seth. Unless they're just planning a real late run where, you know, tonight's the last kind of big thing on SmackDown. And then from when Punk turns up on Raw, story we broke here, in Chicago, then perhaps that's when they're going to get going and Raw's going to finish strong.
So, you're right about what you're saying about everything is being built on the other fucking show more than anything else. Do you think there's any possibility that Brock is coming back? Because I heard, like, the Iggy going around was, like, that he's back on their website. Like, they put his profile back up and when they had taken it down before.
Okay, let's run out of order then because we're going to do Rock stuff at the end, but we're on it kind of. So The Rock is not just taking that job title. People are going to feel like he is because he's going to be away for 4 months because he is taking a movie role, which he said he was going to do anyway, but he's not going to be out of the loop in terms of conference calls and being involved. He wants to be more involved. For TKO initially, I would imagine it was a case of let's get him as a name on the board and it looks good and we can enter into our negotiations. And now negotiations are done with Netflix and whatnot, that he would take more of a light role. He's fucking having input into the Hall of Fame. Like Muhammad Ali was 100% his call when he said that should have been done ages ago. He's a big fucking mark for Ali and that was him who decided to put him in. That's the first thing. The second thing is that The Rock actually wants to segue into becoming the WWE's Dana White. And TKO had the plans to kind of do that too where you kind of put him out there, but he is fully on board with doing it, which is confusing to me because the role Triple H plays is more of the Dana White role. So are they going to move Triple H out of that and he will take the creative role, the day-to-day role, the being at TV kind of role? So it would be more like Rock is Vince.
Jesus.
And Triple H is still Triple H, or Triple H is a combination of Triple H and Bruce, and Bruce moves out when it finds out that he raped a schoolgirl or something, when that inevitably comes out. So, or a schoolboy, as we're hearing with these some of these stories. So I don't know how that's going to work, but The Rock is definitely hands-on. The Rock is wants to move WWE more towards an adult audience. There is an active plan to make the last hour of Raw mature when it goes to Netflix. So you're going to get an attitude era hour, essentially, when it moves. That's something that they are looking to do. It's a Rock's idea. Muhammad Ali is the Rock's idea. Whatever the Rock is doing is the Rock's idea. Tonight, they have not announced a Rock concert, as far as I know. But there was some ideas around to do one. Now,
Jesus.
It's very last minute, and it could run all the way up until SmackDown tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian Gerwitz and The Rock are essentially trying to see if they can make it good enough and funny enough, or if not, they'll just do something else instead. But there is an idea out there to try and do a Rock concert. There was some preparation and whatnot going into that tonight, but the fact it's not been announced makes me wonder if that's still going ahead. But the point is that Gerwitz and Rock are doing all the rock and Roman stuff, and what was previously overseen by Michael Hayes is now being seen by Brian Gerwitz, which would be concerning because I'm sure Michael Hayes has done something in the last 30 years that he's been there, which is crazy. I think he's actually been there 29 years. So in the last 29 years that Michael Hayes has been there, I'd be amazed if he hasn't done something. So you really, for Michael Hayes, I would want to be involved in the Rock and Roman stuff, or mainly the Roman stuff, considering that I have produced that so well for 4 years. And now the thing that I was most useful for, I'm not in it at a time where allegations are coming up against people left and right, including even Nick Khan. So that's just an interesting one that they've undermined Michael Hayes' role in the last 2 months because Gerwitz is there doing his part. But yeah, there was supposed to be a Rock concert tonight, but it's not been announced. So I would just imagine the fact that it hasn't been announced today would mean that they decided that wasn't good enough or funny enough to the level of the old ones. And both of the two they've done so far have been 10 out of 10. He's done so far.
It's very odd to me that, like, if he would be there, like, overseeing things and taking the Vince role, because I'm like, I think he's not looking to
publicly.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like, he's got his own fucking movies and this and that. He ain't gonna be fucking traveling around, fucking going backstage after Mania's fucking done with.
But he would be a public mouthpiece,
the face.
And that's something they're keen on because Vince refused to do that. There was very rare instances where he would go on. Obviously, there's a '92 thing with Donahue. There was the couple with Costas. Howard Stern, I think he's been on. It's very rare that Vince did things, but they do want someone to be their Dana White who does go on and do stuff and probably doesn't storm off and say hates podcasts when he agrees to a podcast. So that would be where they're looking to go. But he's more open to it than they thought, and he's certainly more open to being involved with ideas and things of that nature, including getting his people into Hall of Fame. I don't know who any of his other people were, but Muhammad Ali is his person.
So is his daughter going to come to accept? I mean, what the fuck?
Well, he can't because he's dead.
Yeah.
So,
so I'm like, I guess I would imagine.
I mean, they can do mad things with AI now.
Wouldn't that be something? There was an interesting thing that happened this last. I mean, it always happens when there's a pay per view, a big one, and it's usually Undertaker doing his one man dead man show, whatever you call it. And they put the tickets on sale and you can go watch his show. And then they have another tier where it's like $700 to do the meet and greet with him. I don't know if that includes a picture, you might know. And it sells out extremely quickly. We were having a conversation about this because you were baffled about who and how. Is this happening? Because the people who are buying these tickets, you would assume, are the very supreme fans, and most you think would not have the money for this. And then we were speculating, who are these people? And do they just have their own regular little shitty job and live at home and don't have to pay rent, don't have to pay for anything? And this is what they use their money on. This is what their life revolves around. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so, I mean, you need to go more into the background of that. So I just thought this week. I mean, I've had it for a while, but never really. I mean, WrestleMania tickets have gone up, and WWE tickets have gone up, like, massively. But it is consistent with events. So everything's getting more expensive. But with WWE, it's like, you know, $3,000 ringside, or up to $5,000 ringside, actually. And basically WrestleMania now was at a decent seat. It's about $500 to $750. My seats are $750 each, and I've had to buy four of them, two a night. And I also wanted to buy seats to finally go to this fucking Undertaker tour, this one dead man thing, and I wanted to get the VIP and get this picture and autograph, because this asshole Undertaker doesn't do anything in a hotel. Like, Austin's been in a lift with him. He said no.
Really?
Austin was in a lift with him. He obviously deliberately got in a lift with him.
Sure.
He said, "That's Undertaker." And I said, and he was waiting for a lift. And I was like, "Get in a lift with him." Because it works with Ronda Rousey. So he got in a lift with him. He goes, "Can I get a picture of you, please?" And the security guard was like, No, he's not doing any pictures.
Oh,
and he went, "Undertaker, please." He goes, "Please, just one picture." And he went, "I think you better listen to what the man says."
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Jesus. Real dick. So, really gone. And there was another time where we were getting the same connecting flight in Nashville. And he was at a gate. We were connecting at the same time. I was going to Orlando. He was going to Texas, obviously the day after Ric Flair's thing that we both went to. He was going home and I was going to the next part of my holiday. So we're in the airport at the same time. So I walk past the gate. I goes, "That's the fucking Undertaker." So he's sitting there on his own, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Austin walks up to him and goes, "Can I get a picture, please?" And he's like, "No, not right now." What do you mean? What are you doing? Like, I get the rule. Some people have a weird rule of don't get pictures in the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, now you're out in public. You're at the gate in public.
You're not eating dinner.
No, he was sitting there and his head was back and he had his foot on his bag,
mm-hmm.
on his travel bag. And he was sitting there and his kid and Michelle McCool were a few chairs down and she was like dealing with the kid. And he was just sitting there doing nothing. And I'd understand if it was like, "Can you sign this for me? Can you sign these bits?" or whatever. It was like, no, yeah. We got the signature once before, but we're just after the photo, because the time we got the signature, he was like, "No, sorry, I got to catch up with my family for the photo after signing the signature." I thought, that's weird. You've signed, but you know, you won't do the second, you won't just do the photo. But anyway, it kind of makes sense because the autograph, the VIP section of the tour is $480, $680, right? For the meet and greet. So I was thinking, fuck, because I said to my mate, "We're going to get these." So I messaged him, was like, going, "Have you seen this?" I was like, yeah. I said, are you doing it? And he's like, no, not for 680. I was like, okay. I said, if I do it, we have Austin in the hotel. We keep Austin in the hotel with you for 2 hours. I said, because I'm not paying it twice. He was like, yeah, it's fine. You can just hang around the hotel. We'll get photographs of wrestlers in the hotel or whatever. Like, Austin does that anyway by himself. So literally, I'm thinking this over and the tickets are gone. There is no choice. The whole VIP, however many people he's going to meet, let's say it's 100, is gone. So on that pre-sale, $680 tickets, all 100 of them are gone. So it got me thinking, who the fuck bought these at this point where they were just immediately decided, 680, yeah, no problem, I'm going to take these tickets. It was confusing to me who would buy them. Now, I've always had this thought process in my head, but then once I analyzed it, I realized this is not a process that makes sense. I thought to myself this.
If you want to hear the rest of the show and the things you see on the title of what we talked about, just subscribe on Apple Podcast or go to thedirtysheets.com for the full show.